Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
I wonder if the children might join me for the lighting of the candles. Good morning. Do you guys know what tomorrow is? What is it, Bennett? It's Christmas Eve. Are you guys excited? I hope you're excited. Are you guys excited? I hope so. Does it make you want to sing a song like Mary for joy? I hope so. I pray so. Who's going to help me light the candles? Chase, you want to help? So we have all four blue ones to light, right? Here you go. We'll start here. Start with this one. Perfect. Yep. So as Chase is brilliantly lighting our Advent candles, you know what the middle one means? The white one? This one next. Do you guys know what the white one means? What is that for? It's for Christmas, right? So if we're lighting the fourth one, it means that we're still in what season? Why am I still wearing blue? It's Advent, right? So we're one day away. You know, we've been talking. Thank you, Chase. It's brilliant. We've been talking a lot during Advent about waiting and trust, right? And I wonder the kind of feeling that you guys have right now on the verge of Christmas Eve, even though we're still in Advent. I wonder what you guys, in the way you're feeling, have to teach all of us about the active role of trust, the active role of waiting. Because you know what trust and waiting sometimes sounds like? It sounds like, oh, I've got to just go sit over here like a bump on a log and pout in a corner, right? That's not the kind of trusting that we really find to be too exciting. But I think you guys are embodying for us what it means to trust that God has actively been working in our lives this whole Advent season. You guys are modeling for us what we mean to wait and to trust. Has anybody here ever been on a high diving board? Yeah? You know what it feels like when you're walking up the ladder? It's a little scary, right? It's a little scary, and then you get to the edge of the diving board, right? And you sort of get right to the edge, and you're waiting to jump, right? You're waiting to make your dive. Does that feel boring? Does that feel like bump on a log? Not at all, right? It's very active. Or have you guys ever been on a roller coaster? You know those ones that go really slow, up, 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 sit at the very top? What does that feel like right before you're about to go down? Kind of scary, not boring, right? Exactly. So I think, guys, this is what I want you to remember about Advent, is when you hear language like trust and wait one more day for Christmas, that it's really an active excitement, all right? So now as you make your way back to your seat, I want all of you guys to sort of have a wonderful time of waiting one more day and try to get some sleep tonight, because your parents will bless you for it. Go ahead back to your seat. So I was recently reminded of a book by one of the most famous rabbis of the 20th century. He's a man called Abraham Joshua Heschel. And he noted about 50 years ago that we're a people who've forgotten how to sing. We've forgotten how to celebrate. Despite an unprecedented amount of leisure time and countless material luxuries that can entertain us all day long, we've forgotten, as a people, what it is to sing. The rabbi suggests that this phenomenon has to do with a shift from a culture of celebration to a mentality of entertainment. And the main difference between these two options, entertainment is passive, whereas celebration is an active engagement of myself in something else. An active engagement of myself in something else. Entertainment is consumed. It serves my interest, and it meets my needs. He suggests that a culture of entertainment assumes that the center of all things is me, whereas celebration recognizes that we participate in something greater than just ourselves, in a reality beyond ourselves. Because of this cultural crisis, we're forgetting how to look at the world as a wonderful mystery, a mystery at the heart of all things that participates in the life of God. We're forgetting how to sing and to celebrate this mystery, and it means that we're forgetting about what it is to be human beings made to delight in God. Heschel's diagnosis, Rabbi Heschel's diagnosis at the end of this little book is this: the world seems to have lost its song. The meaning of life is not what I use and what I accomplish by my own efforts. The meaning of life is the praise of God. The meaning of life is a song. This conclusion, Rabbi Heschel's conclusion, was not reached by a sort of bland, cheery optimist out of touch with the suffering of the world. He had to flee Europe in the 1940s, and he lost almost all members of his family in the war. And he once remarked that he could not go back to Poland or Germany because the stones in the river and the leaves on the trees would cry out in agony. He knew pain, he knew loss, and he knew suffering profoundly. But he also read his sacred scriptures, and he knew at the core of his being that the meaning of life is worship. The meaning of life is to sing a song of praise and adoration. He trusted in his bones the recurring tune of God's song. The image of a woman pregnant with hope. After all, God's story with Israel begins with a miraculous pregnancy. Abram, I'm going to make you an ancestor of a great nation that will never end. This nation of your offspring will be the salvation to all other nations. The only problem, you might remember, is that Sarah, Abram's wife, is not able to have a child. But God makes known to Sarah, when she's 99 years old, that she'll bear a son. All she can do in response is laugh. All she can do is celebrate what God is accomplishing through her. And what does she call her son but Isaac? Laughter. The Lord has made me glad. He has made me laugh. Her laughter at first upon hearing the news was a kind of laughter of silliness. Yeah, right, God. But when Isaac is born, the laughter is transformed into an overflow of joy and celebration. And to name a few more, Rachel, Rebecca, the mother of Samson, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Israel's first great prophet. All of these characters are surprised by God. With a child. And all they can do in recognizing God's tune is to sing a song and celebrate and dedicate their children to God. And of course, in this Advent season, we kicked it all off with a reminder of Elizabeth, who's grown old, but an angel tells her and her priest husband, Zechariah, that their joy will be great and the joy of their people will be great because of John, their son. The point is simply that again and again, the story of salvation, the story of God making room for the Word in history, is a woman pregnant with child who can do nothing but laugh, sing, and celebrate. And so here we are, just to the climax of the story, where the Word is not just given room, but takes up our flesh. And we have Mary's song that pours forth with divine celebration. You heard the text this morning. Upon the arrival of Mary to Elizabeth, two women astounded with earth-shifting news, John has to jump for joy in his mother's womb. The earth is shifting. God's promises are being fulfilled. The kingdoms in the world spotlight cannot keep up with the small spotlight God shines in seemingly unimportant people's lives. And all Mary can do is break into song. Her Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. God has looked at Mary. Did you catch that? God has looked at Mary, a nobody, a teenage Jewish girl from the sticks. She's not important. She's not powerful and connected with all the right people. She's not rich. She's poor. She's not in the world spotlight. But she is who God looks at. All the other miraculous births outside of the scope of the empire's violent drama pointed to this one. They prepared the way for this one. And through this unimportant girl, God shows his strength. He scatters the proud. The mighty are cast down from their self-serving thrones, and the lowly servant Mary is exalted. From this moment, all generations will call her blessed. The world's spotlight has shifted from the so-called important places to a little town, to a little unimportant family. Are you kidding me? This is our song. And it flips the world upside down. If we don't perceive how it changes everything, it's not just some curious little fact over here. If we don't perceive how it changes everything, we don't yet fully recognize the tune. It challenges us to shift our gaze, to move from being a culture of entertainees with everything meant to meet my needs, to a culture that lifts up its voice to praise God in all we do, no exceptions. So, if under the tree this Christmas you find great toys for entertainment, the iPad Mini, the Xbox, I'm not dropping any hints, or whatever, that's fine. Seriously, that's fine. They're a lot of fun. I like these things. But remember that we're not a bunch of isolated individuals running around trying to endlessly entertain ourselves and please our individualistic appetites. This is what the world teaches us to do. But the world has lost its song. Friends, we need to learn again the song. We need to remember that we are a people made to praise God, to lift up our voice and sing the glad tidings that a new kingly reign is breaking forth even now. We're meant to celebrate that fact and embody that world. And as servants of this kingdom, it's our role to teach each other and the world a forgotten song. A song that saves, a song that brings new life. It lifts up the lowly. It feeds the hungry with good things. It animates our world with mystery at the heart of everything and everyone. Money, prestige, position, being admired, having a good reputation, a good name. If that is what we still secretly think matters, well, the Christ child is coming with a new vision of who we are. A people who remember what it is to sing with Mary, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Let's claim our song and dare to sing it. Amen.